This is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. Those who have young children and demanding careers know it's not too likely that Mary Poppins will float into their homes to help balance work and family. But according to a recent New York Times article, Black families at the higher end of the economic spectrum have a particularly hard time finding Black nannies or other nannies who will work for them. Joining me now to talk about this trend are Jody Cantor, author of that recent New York Times article, and Jennifer Freeman, a stay-at-home mother from Chicago who Cantor wrote about. Ladies, welcome.
Thank you.
Hi.
So, Jody, what prompted you to write the article?
It actually started with my editor, who is an African-American mother, and she and I were having a mom-to-mom chat one day, and she told me that a lot of her Black friends have trouble finding nannies. And I cover kids for the National Desk, and the story bulb in my head lit up. And so I started researching it, and it turned out to be very true.
Jennifer, you were featured in Jody's article. Tell us what happened when you went out and tried to find someone to take care of your children.
I was offered a position, and my thing was, I just needed someone in the evenings to watch my children because my husband travels a lot. So I needed something more than a babysitter. I called about 4 or 5 nanny services on the north side of Chicago. I live on the south side of Chicago. And in talking to these nanny services, the first question they would ask is, well, where do you live? And when that stated where I lived, they would tell me that they weren't sending anyone that far south.
Now, the south side of Chicago is traditionally an area where there have been a lot of African-American families, but there's also plenty of folks of other races and ethnicities in the University of Chicago. Did you believe them when they said it was really just about geography?
No, not really. I think that a lot of people really don't understand what the south side of Chicago is like past the University of Chicago. I stay in the Beverly area, which is a very prominent area. It's a very diverse area. So it actually shocked me when I stated that I needed someone to come out to Beverly, that they weren't willing to even come into my neighborhood.
Do you think that it was a racial decision that they made?
I really wasn't sure at that time. I know with one company, I felt as though it was, because the second question, when I told her that I needed someone to come out to Beverly, and she said, we really didn't want anyone to come out that far. And I was like, well, is there any way that you could kind of send someone anyway, find someone anyway? She went in to discuss with me what the placement fee was, and she actually asked me if I could pay it. So at that time, I did feel as though I was being discriminated against.
And you've got a 5-year-old and a 3-year-old. Have you found anyone since then, or?
Actually, I have. I had a friend. By the time the article was written, I had asked a friend, and we thought that everything was set and ready to go. But later on, found out that she's having some health problems and she's going to need surgery, so she had to back out. So as a last attempt, I asked my younger brother, and he decided that he could take on the responsibility. So we're going to try him out. Hopefully it works.
They call that a manny instead
yes.
of an aunt. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. But that has become like a popular phrase, I think, in places like L.A. Oh, it's my child's manny. So, Jody, what did you find during your research? I mean, it sounds as if Jennifer had to go miles and miles of effort in order to find someone and ended up finding someone close to home.
Yeah, I think that experiences are very mixed. There are obviously a lot of Black families that have successfully employed nannies. There are certainly nannies who happily work for Black families. But then again and again, I heard stories like Jennifer, and they were validated by people like the head of the International Nanny Association, who also owns an agency in Houston. And she said, you know, it's the darndest thing. My African-American nannies don't want to work for African-American employers. I think the best analogy is to taxi cabs not picking up Black people in major cities. There are these stereotypes that Black people live in bad neighborhoods, that Black people don't tip well, and a lot of the same stereotypes are at play here.
Were you shocked to find out that it was African Americans as well as people of other ethnicities who were actually turning away from Black families?
I'm white, and I was surprised to find that it was Black nannies who didn't want to work for Black families. But when I went back to Black parents and told them that was the case, they all nodded knowingly.
You know, like every community, we African Americans, we have our issues with each other. Do you think that part of the problem is just a general mistrust? You know, there's some people who mistrust on skin color, some people who mistrust based on where you're from. Is it a factor of us as a community not having enough faith in each other?
I think that's exactly what it is. I think it's not only that some of us have an elitist attitude that we are better than others of our own culture, but I also think it's the other side. I think a lot of people who aren't doing as well financially in the Black community feel as though that the people that are doing better financially may think as though we feel that we are better.
One thing I should add, though, for context is that a number of sources told me that in their experience, homogenous employer-nanny relationships are much harder than mixed ones, whether it's a Black nanny working for a Black family, a Hispanic nanny working for a Hispanic family, or whatnot. And that's because it's really important in these relationships to establish some professional distance. And that's harder to do when you're both from the same background.
So people end up making assumptions about how they can treat the other person.
Exactly. And, you know, there is something family-like about the nanny role. And, you know, what the head of the International Nanny Association said is, you bring an older woman into a family as a nanny, and it's like having another mother. And really, who needs another mother?
Well, Jody, what about the issue of how prominent nannies are in American society? It's not as if everyone has access to a nanny, but it strikes me that in our society, this is a different version of what I hear from a lot of folks. Oh, I can't find a reliable babysitter. I can't find reliable daycare. That this question of in the Black community, as well as in other communities, I'm sure, there's always this tension, whether you have a lot of money or a little, over who's going to take care of your kids. What lessons can you draw from what you've been working on around the nannies to larger issues around childcare?
Absolutely. I think that's why this story was so provocative for so many people. Anything having to do with nannies is a hot topic. First of all, the word nanny sounds a little snobby. It does sound very Mary Poppins. Nannies often used to be called housekeepers or babysitters. There are about 1 million nannies in the States. The numbers are a little sketchy since so many of them are undocumented workers. And it is a famously tense relationship between any employer and any nanny. Then you add to that the kinds of racial issues that we're talking about, and you get a pretty combustible topic.
Jennifer, did you turn away specifically from daycare or other ways of having your kids taken care of?
Daycare wasn't an option for me because the hours that I will be working will be from 3 to 6, and daycare is closed at 6. So that would allow me no travel time to get back to my children.
And I heard you get fined, right, if you don't show up on time?
You do. And a lot of schools will fine you like $5 per minute that you're late.
That could get you broke real quick. And Jody, yes. What were you going to say?
I think that's the real issue here. You know, as you say, a lot of people have trouble finding child care. But again and again, I found Black families who had to compromise their professional aspirations in some way because of the nanny issue. When I first met Jennifer, she did not think she was going to be able to take this job that she really wanted to take because of the trouble finding a nanny. I interviewed another couple in Brooklyn, a very high-powered couple. The wife is the director of beauty advertising for Essence magazine. The husband is an attorney at a very prestigious New York firm. He's also on the board of the NAACP. But he has to run home from work often by 6 o'clock, which, you know, is practically the morning for a New York lawyer, get the baby from daycare, take the baby home, and then schlep back to the office in Manhattan. So you're talking about, you know, attorneys work according to billable hours, and you're talking about somebody who may have to make significant professional compromises.
Do you find this different from what white families, for example, might face?
Well, that's what came up again and again in this story. People said, wow, you know, my white neighbors or my white colleagues had a much easier time than I did finding a nanny.
And Jennifer, it sounds like you are poised to take the job that you dreamed of taking because your brother is able to take care of your children. If for some reason this doesn't work out, say he finds a dream job of his own that conflicts with the hours, are you really afraid that you're not going to have any place to turn?
Well, hopefully that's not an option because my brother actually is working his dream job right now. He is a pretty well-known DJ around the city of Chicago, so normally his hours are in the weekends or late at night. Hopefully there won't be any problems. I'm not expecting any issues to come up, but if they do arise, then I will have to back out of this job.
That's a really tough position to be in, to say, you know what, I might have to put my kids over my job and not be able to have both.
Well, as a stay-at-home mom, and I am a stay-at-home mom by choice, I realized that, you know, my children were going to be my first priority when I decided to make this, you know, career move, which I do feel as being a stay-at-home mom is a career move. And with the way my husband's job is and with the amount of time that he travels, then a lot of times I do end up putting my needs on the back burner for my family's needs.
Jody, what other options did you find families taking? You talked about the family where, you know, folks are running to get the kids and then going back to work. What other things did people do when they just hit a brick wall on childcare?
Well, I think Jennifer's example is significant, the idea of using family, because that is a much more traditional choice for people of all cultures, but especially in the African-American community. There were always extended networks of care. You always relied on your family. And for a while, there was a taboo against hiring a professional to care for your children. It meant that somehow you didn't have kin or you didn't have ties close enough to look after your own. But more and more, you find Black professionals who are highly mobile. They've moved away from their families. They're pursuing their professional goals. And like people of other cultures, they need to turn to professional help.
Well, I'm going to leave it there, but I have to say, Jennifer, the fact that your brother is a DJ and is going to be a Manny sounds like a movie. So tell him to come out to LA and sell his story.
Hopefully he will.
Thank you both.
Thank you.
Jody Cantor is a New York Times reporter. She joined us from New York City. And Jennifer Freeman is, for the moment, a stay-at-home mother of two from Chicago. She joined us from the studios of member station WBEZ.